Well, it's a tremendous joy and privilege to have a dear friend in the work of the Lord. And many of you will have heard of Alan and Mary McBride and their ministry as they work out from Mollusk and reach out across this land and other lands in their literature ministry and visitation. Alan, it's a great joy to have you on our Sunday afternoon program today here in Glad Tidings Hour. And I want you to share with us how you came to the Lord, and a little bit about your family and your childhood years. Can you tell us about that?
Indeed. I had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home in the village outside the village of Mollusk in County Antrim. And at an early age, I realized that I was lost, that I was without God and without hope in this world. I had the privilege of being taken along to gospel meetings, to church, to Sunday school, and to those means of grace that were open to me. And as a young person, I realized that if ever I was going to be in heaven one day, I would need to repent of my sin, and that I would need to seek the Lord with all my heart in order to find him as my own and personal Savior. And as a young person growing up in my teenage years, I felt that spirit of rebellion against the voice of God and against the Spirit of God. And you know, about the age of 19, my father took us along to a gospel mission in a country district called Rathmore outside the town of Antrim. And there, two evangelists were preaching God's word once again, telling us that it was time to seek the Lord. That hall in which we met, a memorial hall, had been built by a family from the town of Antrim just after the 1859 revival. And around the wall hung the portraits of the men and the women of that generation who prayed and who agonized for God to come and bless their community. And we are told that for many years after that revival, the Christians in that community met once a year for the first week in every year to pray for the community and for the blessing of God upon it. And we're also told that they not only prayed for themselves and for their children, but they prayed for the third and the fourth generation. And I believe that their prayers were reaching forward to touch me there in that gospel mission. And I thank God that at the end of the fourth week of that mission, as God's words was again preached faithfully from God's servant, the text was, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And at the end of that service, I waited behind when others had gone. And we went to the front of the hall, and we knelt at that old form. And from the word of God, God's servant pointed me to Jesus, pointed me to Calvary, pointed to me where the blood could cleanse and where I could become a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for the assurance that was given to me that evening, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I thank God for the help that I received after that, attending the local faith mission prayer union that my father led at that time, where we learned how to pray, how perhaps to read some verses from God's word and maybe make a few comments about them. And also for the mission hall nearby where we attended and where we went along also to the prayer meetings there. And for those old saints of God, for the tremendous help and encouragement and all the teaching that we received from them as we would kneel together in the room and seek the Lord, how we felt God's Spirit coming down and his blessing coming upon our souls. And I thank God for his hand upon my life. Just about three years after that, the Lord called my dear father home to be with the Lord. And it was wonderful to be able to prove that God's grace was sufficient. And when responsibilities were placed upon one's shoulders on the farm at that time, that God was there to help us and to bless us and to undertake for us. And then some year or two after that, the challenge came to us about reaching out to men and women that were lost around our community as a result of the death of two young women from the Shankill Road in Belfast who died tragically on the Mollusc Road at that time in 1971. And about a year later, along with my dear friend Jim McCulloch, we commenced visitation around public houses around a wide area, seeking to share the Word of God in word and in song at times as well, and telling men and women that there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, that there's a door that is open, that all may go in at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus.
Alan, that's a tremendous overview of how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and how God began to open up that new ministry to you. Had you met your wife Mary by this time at all?
Yes.
Did you meet Mary? That's always an interesting story.
I did meet Mary actually in our prayer union, mm-hmm. that met in our home at that time in 1976, was when she came with her landlady, Mrs. Black, to take the prayer union. And it became evident that Mary's interests and mine in the work of God and in witnessing for the Lord were along similar lines.
She was serving the Lord then in full-time ministry, was she?
She was a pilgrim in the Faith
Mission. And she wasn't from around your area, but sure she wasn't.
No, she came from Ballygally in County Tyrone.
Oh, good Tyrone woman, that's great, Alan, isn't it? Well, anyhow, I know that the Lord has really blessed you and Mary, and so many of you who are listening to us this afternoon, you're keyed in right away, and you know Alan and Mary, of course, and Mary's wonderful ministry in the literature cause. But coming to you, Alan, we'll reserve Mary's story for another day, but how did that ministry continue to develop, Alan? What is, you know, some of the high points in that ministry, some things that God has done? I'll let you loose now for a wee while.
Certainly the Lord blessed us. We were probably in this work for perhaps 15 years or so or more now, visiting public houses, and then out of that developed visitation of people in their own homes. We were asked, maybe with someone in a pub, would you go and visit my wife? She's very ill, she's dying. Would you go and speak to her about the Lord? And as a result of that, we would have went to a home where the Word of God would be read, perhaps a hymn, a gospel hymn would be sung, prayer would be made, and a challenge to the person to come to Jesus right there and then, to seek the Lord and to open their lives to the Saviour. And we thank God for contacts that were made like that, and eternity alone will reveal what exactly happened in the lives of mm-hmm. some of those individuals. One particular man that we know about in the town of Ballyclare that we had been visiting in a public house there. We didn't learn about this for a good number of years, and he told how that he had gone into this pub that evening, and he said a young fellow and an old man came in to share the gospel, and the young man, he sang a hymn, and as he sang, the Lord spoke to his heart, and he left the pub and he went to a Christian friend in the town, and as a result he sought the Lord afresh. Mm-hmm. And so we thank God for these small tokens of his mercy and of his Spirit working in lives.
Now, you not only work here in the province in the north of Ireland, you do work in some of the border counties as well, Alan,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, indeed. We have visited in quite a number of towns in North Donegal. We have also visited in County Monaghan, mm-hmm. and in County Cavan as well. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has given us some gracious opportunities of being able to speak to folk in these different situations about their need of Christ, and have had wonderful opportunities of sharing the gospel of our Saviour with them.
Now, Alan, the ministry that you're involved in now, you and your wife Mary, reaches a way out, of course, to other countries as well.
Yes.
That has been very encouraging, hasn't it? Can you share a little bit with us about that?
Yes. It really commenced, first of all, we had a contact from India who wrote to us asking us for literature, Bibles, and we were able to send tracts and Bibles out there. One particular lady who was a government official in Andhra Pradesh, and she was a practicing Hindu. Her husband was also involved in the Hindu religion. And she received one of the little tracts, leaflets that my wife Mary wrote. And as a result of it, she came to personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. I should say it had been translated into the Telugu language of South India, this tract, and as a result, this dear lady wrote us a letter to tell how she had come to know the Saviour and to ask prayer for her husband, who was still in the Hindu faith at that time.
And Africa as well is a great mission field, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Particularly West Africa. We send a lot of tracts and a lot of Bibles to countries like Ghana and Nigeria in particular. Also to Zambia, to Zimbabwe. We've also sent some to people in Italy who have been in prison there. Wrote to us from Italy on more than one occasion asking for Bibles. We also sent Bibles into the maximum security prison of Zambia. And it was a wonderful opportunity to meet a dear brother there who was in for a crime there, but he got wonderfully saved while in prison. And as a result, they had prayer meetings all over the prison and people were coming to faith in Christ. We sent them out, I think it was 21 Bibles, and one went into ever one of these large cells, communal cells, and the Word of God was going to be read all over that prison. So we thank God for that opportunity.
That's really amazing. And this work has been supported just by the Lord's people and by your faith and trust in Christ over the years.
That is true. We trust alone. We don't make any outward appeals for funds, for we do believe, as I think it was Hudson Taylor said, God's work done in God's way will always receive God's supply.
Exactly. Well, it's really remarkable. And it must be exciting for you, and every day this must involve a lot of thought and work and administration and all, I'm sure, does it? Yes?
Yes, it does.
What's it like behind the scenes?
Well, you get letters in that you have to reply to. You get folk asking you sometimes difficult questions that require a lot of thought to know how to answer them. We also get phone calls from people on mainland Britain, where a lot of our tracts are going in now. Some people in great spiritual need, and maybe they want you to pray with them over the phone as they share their burden and the concerns that they have, perhaps for their health, for their family, or whatever the need may be. And we have to have time for them, because, you know, when we think of what Jesus did for us on the cross, he shed his blood, he gave everything for us, and we have got to give all that we have to him in glad devotion and service to seek to bring others to our dear Saviour.